to the next place, permission to go to the next level. And there are songs that give them permission to go lay on their face or to dance wildly or just to be extravagant in their worship. And so those invitation songs are really powerful catalysts for people going to a new place in worship. Declaration songs, we said, are powerful because your experience will rise to the level of your declaration. There are often times that we need to make declarations of intent and of identity that then release something in the spirit realm. But adoration songs are those face-to-face songs. Let me challenge you that when you hit a wall in a worship service, cut to whatever song in your set is an adoration song. Just drop the others for a moment and go straight to an adoration song and see if that takes you in to a greater sense of his presence. I've just seen that work over and over and over again. What is an adoration song? It focuses on the character and nature of God. It focuses on who he is, and it's a song that's in first person. It doesn't say he, it says you. You are. You are. So it has that first person, intimate, face-to-face kind. And it doesn't matter if it's fast or slow. There are fast adoration songs. Some people think praise is fast songs and worship is slow songs. That is totally wrong, all right? I believe a functional definition between the difference of praise and worship is praise is what we do based upon what we know about God. In other words, we praise God according to our understanding, according to our will, according to our revelation. Worship is what we do when God shows up. It's a response to what God is revealing about himself in the moment. You understand what I'm saying? So praise is like my choice of what I know about God and what I understand about God. But when God begins to inhabit that praise, which he always does, then worship is my response to his habitation. It's my response to him showing up. And that can be fast or slow. It can be major or it can be minor. It really isn't a musical thing. It has much more to do with what's going on in the spirit. The second thing about leading with revelation is this: that the people will only worship at the level of their revelation. And so if they're missing the point of the song, then rather than cheerleading them, like if I hear this one more time, and I still do, I hear it all the time. If you were at a football game, come on, how many have heard it? Baseball game, soccer game, football game, cricket game, whatever. It's in every culture. It's in every country. You know, if you were at a game, you'd be going crazy. And I'm thinking, if anything as exciting as that was happening, I would be going crazy. But what you're doing is boring. You know what I'm saying? I'm not relating to what you're doing. So don't blame me, you know, because nobody cheers when no one is hitting a run or when no one is, you know, doing something phenomenal at one of those games. How many have been at a professional sports event and been bored? Yeah, absolutely. How does that happen? Because nothing's really going on. So people are like, come on, praise God. You know what? That just breeds religion. When you ask people to do something without a reason.